Welcome to Equipped, a podcast by Connection Church. My name is Jordan Thigpen. Today I'm joined by Quentin Thurman and Russ DeMott. We're going to celebrate everything that we've seen God do in 2025. Probably leave a bunch of stuff out on accident, but let's get equipped. Fellas.
What's up?
What's up?
Y'all had a good day so far?
Yeah, it's been good.
Yeah. It feels weird to not be, like, have a ton of meetings or something like that, but
yeah,
still good.
Everybody's done taking their next steps for this year. Shutting it down.
No more next steps
are going to happen. The numbers are already clean and polished up, so we've already made the t-shirts. It's done.
That's made the t-shirts. That's great. Russ, I appreciate you coming in and bringing us your coronavirus. That means a lot. Be good.
Don't mention it anytime.
That's the gift that keeps on giving, Clark.
Yeah, it does. This eggnog flavored coffee I just made is absolutely terrible.
Really?
Jeez. Yeah.
Did you put any creamer or anything in it?
No. Just I wanted to taste the eggnog flavor, so I'm drinking it black, and it just tastes like.
Is that one of those things where somebody tried to bring us a quote unquote Christmas gift?
And mud water.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it one of the ones you brought in?
It is.
Oh, yeah. You brought it.
Yeah.
Nice.
I bought it at the store the other day. I thought, you know, I love eggnog. Eggnog flavored
coffee. What store did you buy it at?
The toilet store.
Yeah. I think I bought it at Aldi.
Oh, that's your first giveaway right there.
Dude, what's wrong with Aldi?
Aldi coffee is not, I don't know. Yeah, coffee is just one of the things that I would like be a little bit more choosy on, be a little bit more.
But you're not very picky, so.
Yeah.
No, not at all. I mean, it takes very little to please me on the food category. Like, if you just put it in front of me, I'm going to eat it.
Yeah.
But, you know, with coffee, I guess I just draw the line there. Yeah.
Yeah. As long as it's chicken fingers and french fries, right?
Yeah, yeah. Any form or fashion that you put any of those two things, you'll take tots, you know, nuggets. You put the chicken strips on a sandwich. I mean, whatever you need
to do. He's there.
I'm telling you, I'm pretty diverse
in
what
are.
I eat.
What if it's tossed in sweet Thai chili sauce?
I think I could do that.
Okay.
Yeah. You just put it in a Chinese or a Japanese restaurant, then see, that's the line for me.
That's the best way. I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, man. All right. Well, today, I think I'm in a rather silly mood. I think you boys are in a silly mood. And so why not celebrate instead of doing something super, super serious? Think through sort of all the ways that we've seen God be faithful in 2025 and just some of our favorite moments from the year, just things that we've seen, memories that stand out to us, which I think.
I mean, I think a great way, as I'm thinking about just kicking off this year, is we got to bring a person on staff whom I love and who is now my direct report or my direct supervisor, I guess I should say. And so a highlight for me this year is that we got to bring Russ DeMott
on our team. Hey, wow. Welcome to staff.
I appreciate
Russ.
That, Key. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun to. It's really kind of crazy to think about that a year has gone by since coming on staff. And, it's just hard for me to think about that and think that that's actually the case. A lot of times it just feels like it's just been months, right? Mm-hmm. Like,
it's been 12.
Yeah.
I mean, you just go from hanging around the church to now you get paid to hang
around
the
exactly,
church.
Yeah, exactly. Well.
What do you think is the biggest thing you've learned?
Biggest thing that I have learned? I will say, not to put a damper on the silly mood with something serious, but I think one thing that I've had to really grow in is now, and Case and I were actually talking about this over the weekend, but just knowing and having discernment on like what I get to share with her and what I don't. And I think Jordan, you've helped me learn a lot in that category of just like wanting to protect her from having to see things through the lens that we see things through sometimes, of just not, she doesn't need to know every single thing that happens, and protecting some of that from her has been a little bit of a learning curve of just knowing what to share, when to share, those types of things.
Right. Yeah. And everybody feels a little differently. I think, you know, I know every pastor that I know, including pastors on our staff, share varying degrees of everything to nothing, and I'm on the far end of nothing. Just unless it's like general church news that she would read in a newsletter or the same announcement. She has access to the same information that everyone else does, and that's just a way that we've chosen to operate, and just makes it to where if somebody's doing something silly, she's not walking around with that knowledge. You know, if somebody's doing something straight up ungodly, she's not walking around with that knowledge. Like, she'll find out about it at the same time everyone else would, because she doesn't deserve the burden of having to operate in that and relate to them in that. Like, so if they're being weird, that's on them. You know, it's not because she knows private information that I've shared with her. She shouldn't have to be filtering that through. You know, that's just the decision that we made. That comes at sometimes a cost. Sometimes you would think that she knows things, or you would think that I would share more things about what's going on as far as ministry and all that kind of stuff. But that's the sort of the price that we pay with that. But I think that's where we've landed.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you're like me, then, you know, you like send out an email to our Connect Group leaders or our Heart and Soul members, and then your wife doesn't even open it or respond to it. And so, like, she goes, "Wait, I didn't get your email. What?" And we have to go look at her inbox and say, "Yes, honey, I did actually include you on this. The Connect Group Leader Rally is, you know, August 17th. Yeah. It'd be nice if you'd reply so I can...
Marked as spam.
Yeah, that's tough.
That's for sure a big highlight. Caroline, I did not co-sign what Q just said. That's completely on him. We support you. We love you. So you can beat Q when he gets home. Also, Merry Christmas. Yeah, Russ, I love it's been, you know, obviously, you know, you're one of my best friends, and so having you on staff just period is a joy. But I mean, I think there's our church just, I mean, it's just gotten even better just over your year of investment. So I'm looking forward to seeing in the years ahead what it looks like.
Russ,
so.
What's a funny story from your first year of employment at Connection Church Statesboro that you're gonna maybe tell people, or you're going to remember years from now? You're going to tell people, this is what my first year working at Connection Church was like.
Really, the first thing that comes to mind is being on staff for a month and finding out that I'm going to be given an opportunity to preach for the first time. And then the passage that I'm preaching out of is the Isaiah 6. And just
being, I said funny, not scary.
But for me, it is funny to like, to look back on that and just, man, how much I've just grown in like standing on stage and communicating and teaching the word. By God's grace, I've been given a handful of opportunities to do that.
I don't understand what funny means.
Yeah, no.
And that's funny to me.
I should be laughing
me.
Right now.
That's funny to me. I'm not a super funny guy, and so I don't know that I have funny.
That's unbelievable.
Now, this is what makes it funny. Let me see if I can get to the passage fast. It's until the inhabitants is laid in waste or something like that. It's
the
like,
root of Jesse.
Well, not even the root of Jesse. It's like until the land is like laid bare.
Yeah.
And that's the passage.
Nothing's left.
Until nothing's left. That's the passage that you have to preach for your first message. It's tough.
Yeah.
And it's a Sunday morning, not like a... Mm-hmm. You know, not preaching to students, not preaching to college, not, you know, it's a.
We do laugh a lot.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's hard to, like, think about a funny moment when a lot of our week to week is just because I think that so many of our people are so close on staff that we have a great relationship. And so there is a lot of laughter. There's a lot of, like, funny things that go on. And it's hard to just, like, pick one of those things.
Yeah, for sure.
I think one of the things for me that I was thinking about this over the weekend, I wasn't on staff at this point, but last October we had the baptism of the 77 at J.I. Clements, and we were just talking about like what if God moved in that way this year, and while we didn't have like a big baptism type thing like that, God did move, and we did see over 100 people get baptized this year, and like, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an incredible number of people to see get baptized. And I know, Jordan, you've been around other churches besides Connection. For Q and I, really, as we followed the Lord, this has been basically our only home, church home.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it can, we can forget of like how big of a deal that is, that God has chosen to pour out his grace and his presence in this church in such a way that we are able to see that many people get baptized. But there are churches that don't experience that over a period of years.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to experience it in one calendar year.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is, I mean, it is not common. I'll tell you that. It is not there are certainly plenty of other churches doing great stuff. But that's not a common thing. I'm just kind of clicking through our calendar. I guess we've been doing that sermon prep meeting for a year.
Yeah. Wow.
That feels more new than that.
Yeah, there's a funny moment. I didn't even think about that. My first rip in sermon prep, having to preach on a topic of, here's your passage, and by the way, the people you're preaching to is post-rapture, and so now you're stuck here.
Yeah.
For context, we got a crew of guys that we do sermon prep and sermon evaluation together, and in that meeting, I did an exercise where everybody had to pick a situation and a text, like of scripture, that they had to preach, and then they had a certain amount of time. And the one that somebody wrote is the scenario of, Chris Miller wrote the scenario is that now the church has been raptured, but you're still left and you have to preach. And what was the passage?
I think it was in Leviticus.
Yeah, some random. Yeah.
I think like Seth.
Just
had picked had picked the
Seth
passage.
Connor.
Yeah, he had picked the passage. You know, typical Seth Connor passage. You know, he's got to go
Leviticus
law.
Yeah,
he's got to go priests.
Yeah,
but yeah, thinking how do I preach? How I'm the pastor, or I'm you know in this scenario I'm supposed to be the pastor. Now I'm here post rapture, and I say, hey, everybody, turn to your Bibles to so and so. And Chris Miller, of course, in his fashion says, what's a Bible?
Yeah, it's just lost person. That's great.
I think even with it like that, to me, obviously I can look back at my own growth and think about my first rep and like just super, I'll just say immature and like giggling.
I guess that's true. Both of you preached your first sermons this year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
And like that's something that I feel like I want to give God a lot of glory for and just like celebrate of
maybe even
do what?
Maybe even all of it.
I'll give all the glory to God. Let me just be clear. I'm going to give all the glory to God. Yes. Okay. But thinking about that, I mean, I remember going up there and Jordan just absolutely like roasting me afterwards in love.
Not roasting.
My for all of our listeners, my scenario was that our lead pastor had explosive diarrhea. And that is why I was preaching that day. And so all the scenarios had to do with why the pastor wasn't there. And so mine was that Brandon Williams had explosive diarrhea. And I get up there and I'm like, okay, y'all, you might be thinking about why I'm here. And let me just tell you, Brandon has explosive diarrhea. And so that's
just
why I'm
up
here.
Just threw him right under the bus.
And I was like, I came to like so many moments where I just lost my train of thought, or I didn't know what I was going to say or something. I'd like start laughing or giggling and just, I guess, wasn't really taking it super, super serious. And I remember I get done and Jordan's like, don't ever, ever dishonor your lead pastor like that ever again in a sermon. Never ever do that.
Oh my gosh.
And then he goes, you need to, like, it was just something, like, it was just, you were in love, and I received it in love. I mean, I think in the moment I was about ready to melt into a puddle, but like it was just, you know, like, this is a serious exercise, we're really trying to grow here. And so like when you get up on stage, like if you got nothing else to say, then just say you're done. Don't like giggle and laugh your way through it. And I just think about like that moment versus being able to stand on stage at college nights and have so much clarity and feel so much of the Holy Spirit leading me in the preaching of God's word and the convictions that he had put on my heart for that specific body. Like those are two completely different people.
Yeah.
And
wow,
I have no part in that. Again, we're going to give God all the glory for it, because there's no part of me that could have like willed up that much growth in probably what looked like more like 9 months than a whole year.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll give God all the glory, but I do want to give Jordan some credit to just what he has orchestrated in that room of guys with sermon prep, and to Q's point, the growth that we've been able to see of the people that we feel confident in the life of our church now that can stand up and accurately communicate the word and teach the word. And I think that has been a win of the year. That room has been a lot of fun to really grow with those guys and to press in. I'm super thankful for that room of guys that I get to do that with on a weekly basis.
Well, me too. And I'm humbled that those guys all want to come and give an hour to an hour and a half of sometimes moments like what Q described, where you do get brutally honest feedback. But I just know for me, the more direct and humbling the feedback, the faster the growth curve. And that's my only goal in it, is to shorten the growth curve.
So I don't care about your feelings. I just want the gospel to go forward.
Well, I mean, if it's a random person, I'll be a little more accommodating to your feelings. But that room of guys, you guys should all know how I feel about you. And right. People when I look back that have loved me really well were less accommodating to my feelings, mm-hmm. and they were willing to kind of punch where a bruise already was, so that they'll realize it's a spot that needs to be toughened up. And so that's the, you wouldn't have had the win of like, if you were to pray the prayer, God help me grow as a pastor, part of the feedback in that, that's my responsibility to be part of God's answer to that prayer, right? Is if for you to get to where you feel like God wants you to be in ministry, that's my responsibility, is to give the feedback that needs to be given, and because people have done it for me too, that room is a super super fun room with guys that work a full day of work, and then come and give an hour to an hour and a half for sermon prep for us as we roll out of recording this ridiculous podcast to doing sermon prep. But two other things I think in this over the course of 2025 that we've seen is, one, we got to send another missionary couple, the Coens, and so that happened this year.
That's pour one out.
We missed them. Miss them dearly, but I mean, that's a big deal. It's a big thing that's happened where and I feel like God has really used that greatly in the life of our church, where it's made people aware of the sacrifices and what it takes to send, the costs of it, but also the joy of it. And the fall has felt very different, a lot of momentum from the spring, of us sending. Me and Macy were talking about that the other day, of like that feels like part of what God has used for the momentum, right? The fertilizer for the fall was the sending from the spring. And it's caused things to grow and move. And I think I fully believe that, that God blesses sending in a strange, strange way. But, the other one was, our good old President Trump has been in office for 1 year now. His inauguration happened.
Shout out, President Trump, if you're listening.
Just clicking through the calendar here, the inauguration day, Valentine's Day. What else? We started another round of CLP. That was we finished one in the spring, and now we have another one going for the fall, which is a big deal. What else? What are some other things from 2025? My concealed carry expired. What else is on this calendar? Boys, you are leaving me out to dry now.
I'm thinking. You put me on the spot. Not necessarily from Statesboro, but from the network, we're going to get to see two new churches launched that have kind of been working through this.
Speaking of which, it's crazy. That conversation with the church in Reedsville started in, like, June. It feels like Reedsville's been a thing now for forever, and you're right. That's, like, since August that got decided. Wow. And that conversation started in like May, June.
That's awesome.
And so, yeah, we've got two new Connection churches that will be launching in between January and March. And so that'll be 9 and 10 in the network. Speaking of which, in August, we were able to do, our church was able to host another church planter assessment. So we were able to do Bo's assessment for Reedsville, which was just awesome.
Yeah.
It was great to, I mean, again, just sending related stuff that's a big deal in the life of our church.
We had 3 Dominican Republic mission trips. Mm-hmm. We had 3 Turkey trips.
Was it 2 or 3?
I think 3, because I think we sent 2 in the summer, and then we just went in October.
Oh, is that right?
We went to a training up in D.C.,
yep,
I believe.
Was that this year?
Yeah, yep. February.
Oh, my gosh. Feels like forever ago.
Yeah.
We added to the number of Connect Group members by about 100 from where we're at last year to this year.
Ansley got brought on staff.
Yeah,
we have a new Next Steps coordinator.
Which, whoa. I don't want that to
sorry.
Get.
Sorry.
I don't want
guest service. Guest service.
You just volunteer coordinator.
Hold on.
Whoa. Oh, sorry. Did I just prophesy?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Where am I going? Which is somebody that has been raised up in our college ministry.
We're talking Ansley. Ansley.
Yes.
Okay, Ansley.
Okay. Cute. And so I don't want that to get lost either of just what the Lord continues to do in our college ministry. Mm-hmm. And just even some of the things that we saw this fall with our college ministry of just people getting saved, people taking next steps, mm-hmm. has been a lot of fun to be a part of.
Yeah, completely agree. Yeah, I mean, kind of a two paths thing there. Like Ansley and Adam both were our interns with college, and then Adam felt very clearly that we begged him to consider church work, was like, no, I feel led to the marketplace. And he's had a rocky kind of beginning, just some companies overpromise, underdelivered, but like God's been very faithful. And just in that short amount of time, Adam went from intern to engaged to married to working to now they're having a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just incredible. And mm-hmm. So much changes in a year, and it's just incredible. Love them so much there, and then Ansley the other direction of not married, completely lonely. I'm just kidding. she's in ministry, doing an incredible job. Has an incredible boyfriend. He's the man. We love Logan, and sorry, I told you I'm in a silly mood today. And she's doing great. Get it together, awesome. Q. Quit making me laugh.
I'm sorry. It's just me.
But that's Next Steps has been, she has onboarded so many college students to that Next Steps process to really build out the team and parking and security. And she's
you just said Next Steps again.
Okay, man, I'm sorry.
Dude, get out of my area.
I'm reading notes that I have for the future.
Is Ansley in charge of Next Steps or am I?
Oh, boy.
Sorry, guest services. It's all part of the same thing. I'm just talking about who she reports to.
It's just ministry.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right, what else we got? This has been my biggest preaching load. I forgot about that. My
same.
Biggest.
Same.
Yeah, well, Russ, you especially, you've preached like what, 6 times, 7 times?
I have preached 10 times.
10 times.
Total. Some of those reps have been at Connection Rinkin and States for Worship. But I've been given opportunities to preach on Sundays within our body here at Connection Statesboro and also for our college ministry on Wednesday nights here.
Wow.
So.
10. Wow.
Yep.
That's amazing.
It is amazing.
And you've preached 4 times? 5 times? 3 times?
4. I think 4. It's 4.
4.
Yeah. Yep. 3 at Statesboro Worship and 1 at college.
1 at college. That's right.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
One thing I would say with all of us talking about that is I'm just sitting here thinking.
I can't talk about my preaching.
Yeah,
that's fine.
But I want to say this before because you, anyways, is like you never know if you just be obedient and just trust in the Lord in the process. Like, you never know what could take place in the next year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all the stuff that you could experience that seems like so far in the distance, but like in reality, a year goes by and you can look back and say, wow, look at what the Lord has done, how he's grown me, how he's used me, and how I've been able to take, you know, next steps out of my comfort zone. And
this quote gets attributed to like seven different pastors. I'm going to attribute it to the one that shared it with me, which was my mentor, Clint Clifton, said that a young man overestimates what they can accomplish in a year and underestimates what they can accomplish in five. And that's something that I've tried to internalize, that like I'm always, when I'm looking ahead, discouraged about why am I not there now. But when I look back, it's like it's hard for me to even remember everything. And like when you think back on the year, it's like, man, we have really put our hand to the plow and tried to be faithful. And where we were, even especially in comparison to 5 years ago, is night and day different. Mostly I'm talking about like who I am. This church has always done incredible stuff. We've always seen God's hand has just been all over our church's life, and God has used Brandon and the staff that's come before us in powerful ways. But just for me, like how I've changed over the course of those five, like to your point, like, so you kind of keep stacking those things up of faithfulness, and God is faithful to also allow us to be fruitful in ways that we couldn't really, really calculate and imagine.
I mean, Russ, I just look at you and I'm like, how could they not put such a handsome guy up on stage?
Oh, boy.
Like, I mean, how could, like...
Bald head and all.
Love that. Love that shaven head. That's we also great. Brought on a next-gen worship coordinator.
That's right, Sierra.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So that's amazing. I know that she's done great things already. Excited to see what...
When I think of Sierra, I just think of she is consistent. She is consistent and reliable. She is the same, like... She never, when she leads worship, never seems fatigued. She never seems bored.
Yeah.
Just consistent. Just, and that's been such a shot in the arm for, I think, all of our next gen areas. And, you know, where I see her the most, obviously, is college. And, but I mean, I feel like everything. She sang at the Connect Group Leader Retreat, or the, Connect Group Leader Retreat. She sang at Deepen.
Mm-hmm.
She sang at, like, I mean, just so many different things. Like, college nights, Sunday morning, etc.
Yeah,
and she's just been just so reliable, so consistent, which has just been awesome.
I want to hear about your preaching.
I think when I added it up, I think I preached 14 times or something like that in the spring, and I will have think about 14 or 15 times. I'd have to go and add it up on my board, but I think preaching but almost 30 times in a year is more than I think I've ever preached in 2 or 3 years.
How would you maybe compare that to the past where you like preached half as much but felt twice as burdened, or maybe that's not the right word, but you know what I'm saying? Like there's twice as much effort that put in. Like how would you maybe compare like this year and looking back on it versus past years?
No, I appreciate you asking that. I mean, that's where a lot of the Anointed series has come from is that's something that I've just have been experiencing over the course of this year of me in conversation, wrestling with things with Brandon and John about what I'm going through and experiencing. And I think that like trials, of course, I can't remember it right off the top of my head now.
Transitions, transformations,
and turning the page. That's me sort of documenting what I've been through. Yeah. And so there was just kind of years of, not trials in the sense the way James, the book of James, uses trials of like trials, afflictions, or sufferings, but just a steadiness, a putting your hand to the plow and just trying to be faithful, that all of a sudden there's a moment of transition where like the elders prayed over me, specifically Brandon prayed over me at the gathering, and it was just a moment of, where you were in there too.
That was powerful.
And It was the first college night of the fall semester.
Yeah. Yep.
And it just was a Holy Spirit changed everything type moment for me. And that was a transition into a transformation. And I probably preached the same amount in the fall as I did in the spring.
Yeah.
Just by necessity with college. But the transformation happened that night, and then I just have slowly or tried to be consistent in turning the page. And what that's looked like for me is not acting like God didn't pour his grace out on my life, and not looking at preaching, because preaching used to be something that, like, it's funny. I didn't mean to go so introspective and, heavy, I guess, in this conversation. But, like, typically around the holidays, earlier in ministry, it was one, I was called on to preach, just the holidays guy, whether it was here or at other churches that I've been at. But that meant I was bringing commentaries, bringing books, and I would have to, like, study late into the night, pray late into the night, get up early, pray early in the morning, read, research. And a lot of it is I just had to put in the prerequisite amount of anxiety. That's how it feels now. I'd have to have enough angst over the prep, you know. We're now, like, you know, last week, by the time people listen to this, it'll be two weeks ago. The week of the Connect Group Leader Retreat, I preached Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And it just is now life-giving, and it was all different stuff, and it didn't feel burdensome, and it felt exciting, and I felt really – now, I was exhausted afterwards, but that – and that's an extreme example, where now preaching closer to, like, 2 to 3 times a month has just become like a it just feels closer to the bull's eye of, like, where God's anointing is being poured out currently. And he has the right to change it whenever he desires to. And if it moves, gravitates back in the direction of teaching, that's fine. But right now, everything we do is an exertion of the ministry of the word.
Yeah.
But right now, a lot of that ministry has been preaching. And so I've just really enjoyed that. But, Quick, someone tell a joke.
I'm good at jokes.
What else?
I think, you know, Russ kind of touched on just baptisms in general, but I've tried really hard to be intentional about not just moving on to the next baptism Sunday or the next Heart and Soul or something like that. And so as I look back on 2025, I mean, all the baptisms were special in their own way. And, I mean, they're special because they're all reminders of the gospel and reminders of death to life transformation. But I think the one that continues to stand out is Easter. I think that, to me, like, I'm looking back on 25, and to me, like, that was maybe even just in my own life, the most impactful baptism service that we did for me personally. And I think that was one of the first times that we kind of did it up on stage the way that we did that. I think we had, you know, the baptism in a different area. Obviously, didn't we have some different services too? We had however we did it, but, like, just the stories. And I mean, I got to give some props to Chase and our worship team, like the songs that we sang that day. I know we just did, like, this really cool mix up of Who Else and Praise the Name of the Lord our God. And, like, it was just a super impactful. We did different services. We did a Saturday service for Easter this year, I'm pretty sure, a Saturday night service. If I'm wrong, then you guys can't, you know, fact check it. I just felt like, for me, looking back on our baptisms, like, that is one that I'm just going to continue to remember. I remember there was this, like, 7-year-old girl that in her testimony had just, like, perfectly just explained the gospel and was just like, you know, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and today I'm getting baptized to commit my life to him. And it was just, like, a beautiful, simple moment. And so I think for me, like, just thinking about all the baptisms, that one definitely stands out. But, I mean, all of them stand out for different reasons. And, I mean, I've said this from stage before, but they all stand out because for me, and I hope that the rest of our congregation gets to feel this, but I know that I get to experience an extra measure of joy in this, of that, like, I really do get to walk alongside them. Like, I get to meet them in that sign up process, have a conversation with them, hear about their life and where they're at with God, meet them that morning, see, you know, the little bit of anxious or nervousness they have, pray with them, talk with them, walk them through the process, help them feel comfortable, listen to them read and proclaim what God's done in their life in front of a body, profess that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior, commit to follow him all the days of their life, and then be baptized by somebody who is walking alongside them. And for me, it's just so life-giving to get to watch that and to get to be that close to the process. And so, I mean, for sure, all of the baptisms have been so special. But I think the other thing with that is getting to bring other people into that process. This year, I've gotten some freedom to bring shout out Bess Moore, shout out Trevor Sconier, shout out Seth Connor, into the process a little bit more and begin to help me and kind of give away some more of those ministry opportunities to them so that they then get to experience those same things of walking alongside them and being close to this process. And so for me, that's been super life-giving. I've never experienced until this year what it was like to see somebody else experience the joy that I've experienced before. And I remember telling that to Jordan, like, the Sunday after I had Seth help me out. And I think I was just having him, like, hold towels or something like that. But, you know, Seth had came up to me afterwards, and he was like, it was just different. Like, it was just so different being that close to it and being involved in the process. And I'm like, yeah, like, that's it. Like, that's what this is. And I remember going to Jordan afterwards, and I was like, I've never experienced, like, it's like joy in seeing somebody else experience joy.
Yeah.
And joy in seeing somebody else, like, step into something that they feel like God is calling them to do. And so that's something that I'm going to continue to be celebrating and continue to keep pressing the gas on as much as God will let me.
And I think that's key, like, across all of our areas. I think a lot of us have, but even more so of giving away leadership and experiencing the joy of, like, that moment when it's your, so if it's model, assist, watch, and leave, we do a lot of modeling.
Yeah.
But then having somebody come along and assist, again, there's still, we do a little bit of that. That's why we have serve teams. They're coming alongside and assisting us, but watching, where you have to watch somebody they're doing and you're watching. You're not doing, they are doing, and you're just watching. And the joy you receive of, like, wow, that person, like, you shared the vision, you shared the expectations, you trained them up, and then they execute, that's joyful.
Yeah, for sure.
Another thing in 2025 that's a big deal that we haven't talked about yet, can't believe you hadn't touched on this, discipleship groups.
Yeah.
The triad numbers.
You had said something about experiencing, and I was going to be like,
experiencing God. About experiencing. Yes. Yeah. Well, that's what I was thinking about with it, too, is the experiencing God is just, like, lit a fire in the life of our church.
Yeah.
Shout out Henry Blackaby.
Thanks. Thanks to all the Blackabies. But that's been something that's been that Alex Cohen really got moving down the field, and then Russ took that process over and has continued to grow it and grow it and grow it. And it went from, like, 40 people to now over 200 people in some type of a discipleship relationship in the life of our church in 1 year.
Yeah.
A almost 300% increase.
Yeah. Really in more like 8 months. But
yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, Russ is going to do this in 2026, lay out sort of a bigger, clearer process, the big, beautiful process, if you would, that he's going to lay out for discipleship. I think experiencing God will continue to be the tried and true go-to, like, time over time, where people should begin.
Yeah,
begin there. Because I think, one, it gets everybody on the same page across the board. Everybody that's gone before you, now you're getting called up to that. But I think it is such a great – I mean, it was life-changing for me in 2025. And this will be my sixth year, going on seventh year working here. And – it was just very, very meaningful for me.
Yeah, it was. That's anything that you can listen to a new believer or a young believer or a mature believer or even somebody that's a lead pastor or an elder on a at a church that has been around for 15 years. and it checks all of those boxes,
yeah,
that's solid material.
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing, these are all, you know, bigger picture, kind of broader things. We hosted an elder retreat. So all the elders from all the Connection churches came to Connection Statesboro, and we invested in them. We sang, we preached, gave some exhortation and encouragement, ate some good food, just spent time together and pouring into them. And I thought that was very meaningful this year. Anything like that. I just want more of our church to understand that those things are happening and that your giving goes to facilitate that, because we have a building, we have lights, we have restrooms, like, yeah, that stuff. We have an awesome facility that we're able to use for kingdom advancement, and it would be great if we could pay it off.
Yeah.
So that we can go build another one.
We had a college retreat in the spring. We had a college conference in the fall.
That's another thing. We had our first college conference ever in 2025. I think that's so cool.
Yeah, and I thought it was a great turnout. We had around 100 students that came, mm-hmm, and something that I thought was a lot of fun, mm-hmm, was a lot of our adults came and served the students, yeah, and were just here to kind of hang out and build relationships with the students.
So many people, and you got a lot of these texts too of like, hey, could we just serve? I was like, what do you want to, because, you know, Captain Pessimism over here, I'm like,
what do you need from me?
What's the catch?
What's the deal here? And they're like, no, I just kind of hold a door. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, that is so humbling that, like, our adults are seeing the joy and the hope, the optimism of working with college students, and they, like, want to invest and just give of themselves very freely. And the conference is great. We call it Deepen, the Deepen Conference, and it's just trying to capture the essence of, as students get connected here, we want to take them on a deeper journey. And the ones that self-select into that, they pay for a ticket, they get a t-shirt, a journal, and a few little things like that. But like, it just goes to the food, basically. Like, that's all we're charging for is the t-shirt and the food. And the way Kate and Buck and Brandon brought the word that weekend was very meaningful. And so I thought that was awesome. We've been doing this more this year. I think it's just mostly a 2025 thing. Isn't it the all staffs, the network all staffs? More or less a 2025 thing.
New-ish.
But again, another thing, we do this between here and Vidalia, between our two buildings, of where all the staff of all the Connection churches gets together for a time of worship and teaching and breakouts, just collaborating across our different ministry areas. I know I've learned a lot from Blake and from Randy and from different folks at the different network churches. So
did we, I might be getting my dates off, didn't we add an elder this year?
Yeah, Boyd. Yeah. Boyd came on this year as an elder.
Yep.
Craig rolled off.
Yep.
Joey has rolled off, and so that's been something where Boyd joining was very timely, and he's the best, man. We love Boyd. He's such a great addition to our elder team. It's a great thing to celebrate. What else we got? Anything else come to mind? I'm kind of clicking through. I'm in July. Oh, dude, we hosted an interest meeting for the Reedsville,
mm-hmm, yep,
church plant, and just I was very encouraged by that, just to for the people to get together and really like hear the vision for it. And I think their core team is like 200 people or something like that. It's something just absurd. That's a mixture of the old crowd, and I don't know, it's just really cool.
We had a Connection Underground.
You stole it right out of my mouth.
Yep.
I was going to say, I think that's really cool that we have that people are getting more bought into the mission-minded aspect of who have we sent, how can we support them, mm-hmm, how can, mm-hmm, we create more or heat up the culture of missions and sending and all in, mm-hmm, the life of our church. And so, that's a good one, Q.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We went to two conferences, me and Q-Dog. Yeah, we got to go to Grow Leader in Birmingham. That was
Loser.
You got half the joy.
Yeah, I got to go to one of those conferences.
You got to go to one.
Yeah, I thought that was. I didn't know if I should say it because I didn't know if y'all went to any before I was here. But no, that was super fun. Like getting to go see like high level ministry and just get to.
I love to compare notes like that. Just see what other folks are doing and how they do it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Elevate. We got to put in an LED wall and elevate our auditorium.
Yep. Thank you, Tyler. Great work. Hard work on that. That has been more on the church planting side of things, like there's not a lot of LED walls.
Yeah.
And so I didn't know how much I would enjoy it, but I think it's been a great and they shopped it really hard to get a very affordable one.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
And didn't have to take on additional debt to pay for it too, so that matters.
Yeah.
Anything else?
We renovated the building, added some offices in.
Oh yeah, we did do that this year. Are you sure? Was that this year? Yeah.
Well, it got started. Yes, it was completed this year.
Okay. I didn't have it on my calendar as I clicked through.
I marked it on my calendar the day that I moved into Chase Buchanan's office.
Oh, man.
It will always live. That side of the building looks great. In my heart.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, I got my own office when I started in January. Me, Q, Chris, and Seth Cohen were all sharing an office.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so me and Q and Chris got to have our own offices.
Yeah. Everybody got to move out of there.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Just I missed. Matter of fact, it was the office we're sitting in right now.
That's where we're currently doing podcasts. Yeah.
I miss those days sometimes.
That was fun.
Yeah, we did not get as if your office isn't bombarded every
Absolutely.
Day.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's mostly college students in Hayden now.
Yeah.
Oh, I know what else happened this year. Russ brought a dirty old couch into the building, and it's now sitting in his office, and it stinks.
Daniel Sands.
Daniel Sands, if you're listening, I'm sorry for disgracing your couch.
I think it had already been disgraced. This whole building smells like a wet fart as it is, or at least the staff hallway does, so there's no getting around the...
Whoever's clogging our toilets on Sunday,
that would be awesome
stop.
If you didn't do that.
Chris would love it if you'd stop doing that.
Please go at home before you come here or after when you leave.
Jeez.
That'd be nice.
Especially if you're going to absolutely clog it up with nastiness. But what's one thing you guys are looking forward to in 2026?
I'm going to steal yours.
Oh, crap.
I want to raise up a church planter to go and plant a church.
Amen. But that's a if. But like, what's something for sure? Like a certainty? Like, what's the thing on the calendar that you're looking forward to?
I am looking forward to our staff retreat.
Yes.
To go back to a conference together as an entire staff and not
Church
only spend time together and just, you know, enjoy the fellowship of all being together in a environment like that, but also getting to go and collaborate as an entire staff and see what other people are doing in other ministry areas at another church. So
yeah, I think by virtue of us consistently employing young people, we're just trying to shorten the curve of like what all is possible and seeing like ways of doing things that can challenge our thinking and just see like just there's a you know I don't know I'm just I love that. I love the idea of us getting people out there to see. Some of it is like, see, look, other people do some of the same things and it works, and just believe us. But also like okay, yeah, like I could try that, or sometimes it's just giving you language of like that's exactly what I wanted to do. I just didn't I didn't know how to describe it. So
there's so many times like there's so many things where I was like, it's almost like you don't believe it until you see it actually in action, and you're like, oh wait, that is possible, and almost like it kind of giving you permission to play around with it a little bit.
Yeah, Q, you got one that you're looking forward to for 2026?
I don't know. feel like I really haven't like given myself a ton of time to like really dream and mm-hmm. like think about anything specific. I think there's a lot of things that like almost like the I want to plant a church kind of thing that like I'd really love to see.
Yeah, see happen. God raise up a church planter.
But I think you know, I touched on it before, but I just really am excited for this Next Steps team. I'm really excited for just like what God could do with it. Of, you know, we talked about like giving away ministry, yeah. And so I guess I need to explain what that is. Of like, it's just a team of people who are going to help me help yeah. other people take next steps. Mm-hmm. And so just one thing I've kind of realized is I've just bumped up against my own bandwidth of mm-hmm. being able to have meaningful relationships with a lot of people that want to take next steps in the life of our church. And so I don't want to be a hindrance. I don't want to be the thing that kind of keeps other people from doing things. And so I've just identified that and am in the process of raising up some people to come alongside me in, you know, just like answering emails or sending a text message mm-hmm. or calling somebody and just trying to create some relational bandwidth with our congregation as they feel God stirring in their heart to take a next step. And so often, like, what we see is that they feel that kind of initial heart stirring, and then you know, something kind of happens and they don't end up taking that next step, and it's just difficult. But most times the best I can do sometimes is send an email and send that out and kind of try and work through them that week, and then next week I have some more emails that I got to mm-hmm. send. So I'm really excited just to see what God's going to do with that. But I'm also really excited for another
Quinshon.
yes.
Another baby in 2026.
Let's go.
So for those that have not seen it yet, Caroline and I are expecting a baby boy.
Let's go.
In the summer of 2026.
I knew you had it in you.
Yep. A little cute dog. Yeah, and man. So that'll be fun. Kind of have the girl with Charlotte and kind of all the girl things, and now I get to figure out all the boy things.
Well,
with
Quentin Jr.
Yeah. Yeah.
A little Quintavious Jr.
I love that.
Yeah.
God, that's great. It gets me excited. When I saw that at the little surprise party for Pablo yesterday, at some point in time, that I just was so happy for y'all. Yeah. That's so awesome. I'm excited to preach through the book of James in the spring for college. I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to be spending a lot of time in 2026 trying to build out the sending area. And so I'm very excited about some of the things I feel like God's shown me. I want to get in contact with some other ministry leaders at other places and learn from what they're doing as well. But it is in hopes of identifying a church planter, raising them up from Connection Statesboro, not just as a part of the network, but us taking ownership of planting 50 churches by 2050 and us actively participating in doing that. So I'm very excited about that. I'm excited to with this crew of CLP that's been getting together, very excited for what all God's going to use our time together for in that. And so lots of really good stuff that I'm looking forward to in 2026. Yeah. I feel like God's going to do a lot. We've got a few things. We'll share this maybe the next week in thinking about January specifically. I just would encourage you to prepare your hearts for giving God more space. Mm-hmm. I would just call our people, anybody listening to this, to make space for all that God wants to do in your life and in the world and what all that he wants to use our church to do. I'm just very expectant for what God will do when we give him more space. So we'll talk about that, though, next week. Boys?
Sounds great.
Thanks for taking time. We will see you guys next week. Hey, Merry Christmas. Thankful for you all. Thanks for spending time with us on this podcast. Shout out to Sydney Warren specifically. We were her number one podcast.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure you're the only person that's true of. But we love you and are so thankful for being number one on your podcast list and number one in your hearts.